The following program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives and investment advisory representatives of Security and Financial Services, offering securities and investment advisory services from Security and Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. 14 Walsh Drive, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07050, 973-299-9222. Wealth Management, LLC is separate from Security and Financial Services Incorporated and is not a broker-dealer. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in the commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision.
Welcome to the show.
In 3, 2, 1.
Let's make today the day you take charge of your financial life.
Welcome to Your Financial Future. Your Financial Future is your weekly go-to financial talk show dedicated to helping you take charge of your financial life by discussing and educating you on sound strategies and techniques, as well as practical money ideas. Get ready to be educated and motivated. Now, here are your Financial Future hosts, Doug Chapman and Mike Bonaccorso.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Financial Future. My name is Doug Chapman, and my partner is Mike Bonaccorso. What's happening, Michael?
Not much, Doug. How are you? How's everything?
Everything's good, man. We're rocking and rolling our way through October here. The topic of conversation around the Chapman household the recent days is, what do you think? Take a guess.
What am I going to be for Halloween?
You got it, buddy boy. Exactly. You're exactly right. You remember those days? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, pal.
It's longer than what you think.
Yeah. Just trying to make you not feel old. Exciting time of year out there. Weather's been pretty wacky, though, huh? You know, cool and then warm again. But you know, Mike, as I look out the window here, the trees really haven't started to turn their colors yet.
No, because we have not really received those cold, hard nights yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
One of those will get it going.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen. All leaves are going to go poof down on the ground at once. A blessing and a curse at the same time,
sure,
right?
Sure.
One time to get them all cleaned up, but it's going to be a heck of a job to get it done. So, hey, Mike, we've been battling around in the markets a little bit here, huh? We've had some pressure put on us recently with interest rates going up and all the stuff that's going on with China. We've gotten we're in the midst of a little bit of a battle right now.
Sure, yeah, pullback, no doubt about it. Probably due for it, right? I mean, it happens. That's the way it works in markets. I think people, everybody immediately tries to say, how come? You know, there's always got to be a cause, a reason, right? Why is this happening? But it just seems like it's a pullback. And if I had to point at any culprit, my opinion, my thought would be the rising interest rates and the talk of interest rates. I think that's probably which is really the cause of a good economy and people worrying about inflation.
Well, sure. It's kind of a double-edged sword. And as we've spoken about many, many times, and people need to remember, is that the economy and market are two separate things, and one definitely does have an impact on the other. And when the economy starts to do well and the Federal Reserve starts to raise interest rates, or interest rates, in general tend to go up, it's not uncommon that puts a little pressure on the market at some point in time.
Yeah, and this is the one that always, through all my years of practice, and that drives me crazy the most, it's like, okay, the economy's doing well, the country's doing well, whatever, and profits. And because of that, interest rates go up. And because of that, the stock market gets hit. I just feel there's something very wrong about that, but there's nothing I can do to control it. So you kind of have to live with it. It's not the first time we've seen it. It's the cycle, right? It's the economic cycle. It's the business cycle. This is how it works. You're seeing it right now.
Well, Mike, I think it's important to let the listeners know, because most people listening to the show aren't as astute as we are in the financial world, and they shouldn't be. The reason is that it becomes speculative that it's going to cost companies more money to borrow money because interest rates have gone up, and that could drag profits back, you know, a little bit. So that's one of the reasons why the market could tend to get hit, or, you know, shares of companies could tend to get hit because they think that the profits might slow down a little bit. They're not saying that the economy's, you know, drying up or anything like that, but the corporate profits may be pulled back a little bit.
Yes. You know, that's one effect of it. And then the other effect of it, too, is it goes right to the consumer mortgage interest rates, you know, borrowing, that type of thing. And, you know, so if they start getting hit, that could slow down the buying habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the chain reaction for you, and really, you know, economics 101, right? I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to see what happens now, Mike, because you said the word a minute ago, the two words, mortgage rates. They've popped up, you know, pretty strong here. And while still, you know, at historical lows, they're getting back to a, you know, to a range where it's going to be interesting to see if that has a negative impact on the housing market and the overall economy. Because, you know, if we start getting in that 5% range with mortgages again, I think we got to keep a close eye on that.
Yeah, but you know what, Doug, when we talk about here and we sit about this, you know, you start reflecting, right? And it would be really interesting to see us reach normal levels, you know, mortgage rates, interest rates being paid at the bank, right? We start getting a few bucks on your passbook and your savings accounts, if you will. It would be interesting because I think for way too long, we were certainly very below what was normal. And nobody's rooting for high, right? You know, nobody wants to see interest rates, mortgage rates getting back into the sevens and eights and, you know, that type of thing. But it would be really interesting if we really did get back to normal, because it's probably where we should be. And we just went through a heck of a cycle here, right? Since, what, 2007, interest rates really bottomed out really that hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be interesting. To me, it's just to go back to what normal actually was and not operate under those conditions.
But what's normal now? You know what I'm saying?
Right, like, yeah.
When you talk about 2007, right, you're talking about 11 years ago,
sure,
bud. You know,
sure,
that's
yeah.
That's a long period of time. And, you know, what is normal now? You know, who knows? We're gonna have to see what normal, you know, turns out to be.
And in essence, I mean, do you agree with me, talking economics here, it's really up to how well the businesses really do, right? Because, I mean, interest rates are going up, and if they continue to jump this hurdle and jump the next hurdle and continue to do really well, they're going to keep raising interest rates. And if they don't and they start to stumble a little bit, then they'll probably top it off.
Yeah.
So isn't it really, you know, a dynamic way of looking at it? Like, that's really, you know, crazy when you think about it.
Well, there's a lot of different factors, right? We could sit here and just name, well, this or that or this or that. But you know what is really important that has to take place is you've got to see wage growth take place, because when the cost of borrowing money increases, and if wages don't increase along with a rate somewhat similar to that, yep, then things become unaffordable. And that's when you can start to run into a problem again, and that's when you could start to see, you know, a mild recession. And in lies the challenge that the Federal Reserve has in manipulating interest rates to keep us on a path of good, solid, steady growth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, 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 very interesting. We talk wage growth, Doug. Now you're talking employment and or unemployment, right?
Yep.
So what, you know, what happens here? Do we see wages go up, but maybe the employment number, you know, doesn't, you know, keep creating jobs or is sharp, but maybe that's a good thing because maybe it's so many people are working right now, unemployment's so low that if wages did go up somewhat, maybe it would be a good thing. I don't mm-hmm. know. I'm just speculating.
Well, I think that there's room for wages to go up, and I hate to say this, but there's room for unemployment to go up too, if understand what I'm saying.
Sure,
I mean, we're basically at full employment. Where we're at right now is basically full employment. If I'm not mistaken, I read that we haven't been at this good of an unemployment rate since like the 1960s, if I read that correctly. Don't hold me to that. But, you know, so there's, you know, we're at what's considered full employment. So if wages start to tick up and then unemployment starts to tick up, you're still at, you know, historically acceptable ranges for, you know, for everything. So it's, you know, it's an interesting time right here. And we have the, you know, a lot of people saying that the economy's heating up at a, you know, at a big rate. But then I've heard some other people saying, you know, it's not heating up at the rate that they think it is as a whole. I've saw, you know, one of the CEOs of one of the large hotel property chains, you know, talking, and he was like, well, I don't think it's as hot in all the areas as everybody says. And I think that would be a good person to listen to on that.
Yeah. And you know, Doug, the other thing, too, about wage growth is interesting enough. You keep hearing that companies are announcing they're going to be paying higher than the minimum wage, or their minimum wage is going to be higher. And Amazon just announced that not too long ago.
And,
right?
I, and I think that's soon. Like, aren't they starting like in November with that?
Yeah. Yeah. So so that's interesting in itself that they're, and I think that's, I'm happy for that. I really am. I think that's a good thing. And you know what? I think, you know, when you're raising that up, that's, I think it's a good thing. It's, I think it's going to help a lot of people. So, you know, we'll see, right? I mean, it's a big economy. It's a big world, right? It's, you know, it's the U.S. economy. It's a global economy, right? We can go on and on and on, but it all leads back to what we started out talking about, right? Stock market taking a little hit here, a little pullback, if you will, basically because of, rising interest rates and economics.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, the there's really are in an interesting, you know, time here. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, unintended consequences that happened, too, you know, with this, the other side of the increasing minimum wage that they're, you know, they want to push through is that more and more places are going to go to automation, man. I'm telling you, I go into McDonald's. You know, you got a modern McDonald's. There's kiosks there to order from. You know, they want you to order from the kiosk. And as a matter of fact, I was speaking to somebody who owns some McDonald's the other day, and very interesting thing that he told me is that orders are higher. More people spend more money off the kiosk than they do when they stand in line. And I said to him, well, why do you think that is? And he said to me, he goes, because they don't feel rushed when they're at the kiosk. When they're in a line and somebody's standing behind them and they're ordering, they're looking up at the menu, okay, give me this, 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 and this. But at the kiosk, they order more. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword, and where does it all play out?
Yeah, well, kiosks are in a lot of industries. I mean, recently went for blood work, and there's a kiosk. You sign in, do everything through the kiosk.
What do you mean? Like when you went and like you had to input your insurance information and all that?
Driver's license, insurance information, the whole, it's like going to the airport.
Yeah.
You know, well, now when you go to the airport, you go to a kiosk.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Another spot, another
example
of it.
You stick your credit card in, your information comes up, you type in your whole thing. Same thing at the, you know, at the labs, if you will.
Right.
Talking about fast food. So kiosks are here to stay.
Yeah, it's an unintended consequence, I think, in my you know, in my opinion, is that that's what happens. Because at the end of the day, whether you like it or you don't like it, the corporations have to report to the shareholders. And, you know, if at some point in time the shareholders are going to say, you still need to make money to sustain the share value here because I've got money invested here. And then they're forced to do things such as go out and get the kiosks and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And that replaces a person. Yep. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Kiosks are really a computer in disguise.
It's all it is, yeah.
Right, it's a computer in disguise. It's very boiled down into what you're specifically doing, whether it's ordering food, entering thing. And really, it's also cutting paperwork.
Yep.
Right? So the paperwork, the person, and it's all boiled down to they almost got you. They bring the computer to you, and they put you right where you need to do and make your selections.
Yeah. You know, it's a self-checkout, too, in a grocery store.
Yeah.
How happy are they for if you do the checkout work for them? You know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. When I'm in and out of a store, I always try to go to the self.
Right.
They're starting to become lines at the self-checkout, where in the past it was never that way. The lines were the lines, and that was the speedy way out. So more and more people are just, I'll do it myself.
You know, Mike, I was amazed the other day. I was at a Quick Check store. I forget what town it was in, but the Quick Check had multiple self-serve ones, mm-hmm. and only one where there was a person.
Yeah.
But there was somebody monitoring the self-serves to help people, you know, go through it. But I don't know how many there were. My guess is I can tell you there were seven, you know, self-serve little, you know, get people in and, you know, get them out, you know, little kiosks there. It was something to see.
Yeah, I've experienced it. I've been to one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So anything else you want to add in this segment of the show?
That's about it.
You know, what I want to add, you know, to the people here is, and we're going to talk about this more, is you better keep an eye on what's going on right now, and you better keep an eye on your, you know, your strategies and your money and your investments and all that stuff, because, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that you need to remember the lessons that were learned previously from other people who didn't pay attention to what was going on right when they were getting ready to retire. You know, I reminded somebody the other day, and we were talking about it. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, if you're in it for the long term, if you're in it for the long term. And I reminded them, don't forget, you're 10 years away now from the last, you know, bad market situation that we had, which also means you're 10 years closer to retirement. So make sure you're playing your cards right.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world, Doug. I mean, it's a dynamic economy. The markets are dynamic. There's always a lot going on.
Right.
And to think that there's not going to be a lot going on for yourself is not true.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's hop to a break. We will be right back, folks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is a widely followed measurement of the stock market. The average is comprised of 30 stocks representing leading companies in major industries. These stocks, widely held by both individual and institution investors, are considered to be blue chip companies. Please note, any investor cannot directly invest in any index.
This material represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time and is not intended to be a forecast of future events or a guarantee of future results. This information should not be relied upon by as research or investment advice, nor should it be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell a security. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. The Standard & Poor's 500, S&P 500, is an unmanaged group of securities considered to be representative of the stock market in general.
This program is brought to you by Wealth Management Group, LLC. By sponsoring this program, Wealth Management Group is continuing its commitment to educating the public on financial and money matters. Since the mid-1990s, Wealth Management Group has provided guidance to people from all walks of life related to money decisions. During this time frame, their commitment to not only designing financial and money strategies for people, but teaching along the way has been unwavered. When asked about the motivation behind Wealth Management Group, senior partner Doug Chapman says,
"People need someone they can rely on, not only to provide objective recommendations, but to explain the recommendations to them in easy-to-understand ways so that our clients feel comfortable and confident. I don't like it when I feel like someone doesn't care enough to explain something that I don't understand to me. So we want to make sure that we don't do that to our clients with something as important as their money."
Wealth Management Group has modern technology, and when they combine that with old-fashioned client service, clients win. Co-partner Mike Bonacorso says,
"People love when they call our office and the phone is actually answered by a person who many times recognizes the client's voice rather than asking who's calling. We make sure we treat clients by names and not by account or social security numbers. We've done this from the start, and this will never change."
If you are looking for a company to work with who cares about their clients, look no further. Wealth Management Group can be the place for you. Wealth Management Group has experience to help in most money matters. Don't you think it is time for you to schedule a meeting with Wealth Management Group? Call now to 855-262-3722. That number again is 855-262-3722. Time doesn't wait for anyone, and your money is important. Call now, 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722.
All right, folks, welcome back, and glad that you're investing some of your time here with us today. And, you know, Mike and I come out here, and we do the show each week for you with our idea to educate and motivate so that you don't procrastinate with your financial life. And, you know, we like to talk about all kinds of different things. You'll probably never hear us discuss a financial product on the show because we believe that financial products are just tools to accomplish the goals and objectives. But what we do believe is more important is having strategies in place and understanding yourself and understanding what it is that you're looking to accomplish. And, you know, that's what we want to do for you on a weekly basis, is come out here and see if we can get you going in that direction. Right, Michael?
Yes, absolutely, Doug. I mean, you know, it's interesting, as you were saying, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it and processing it. It really is true, right? I mean, the financial world, or your financial world, if you are, is so many things and so many factors more than just what product, what investment, you know what I'm saying? Am I involved in? I mean, there's so much, so many things along the way that are important.
There really is. And, you know, we, and our job is to, you know, let people know, A, we're here to help them, right? Even if it's just, even if it just means helping them by them listening to our radio show on a weekly basis, or them allowing us to help them, because not only do we do this radio show, we also help people with their money and their financial strategies in person. And we're, you know, we always have a complimentary consultation with no obligation available to our listeners. So you're more than welcome to always take advantage of that opportunity as well. And you know what, Mike, while I'm speaking about that, let me just give the number out. It's 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. That's how you get a hold of us, so that, you know, that we can reach out and help you. But Mike, I think there's really, you know, there's some things that we can identify that I feel as though, five things that we can identify that prevent people from, you know, kind of moving forwards and kind of addressing, you know, their money and their financial strategies. And the number one thing, and I know that you and I, you know, spoke about these things, is that I do believe it's fear, Michael, and I think it's the fear of the unknown that people are, you know, that hold them back.
Sure. Doug, you know, fear is definitely there. It's a big word. Fear happens for a lot of reasons, right? But
yes.
But I think what you just said, the unknown, probably the biggest of them all, right? And you go through fear, you go through people call concerns or just, you know, anxiety. Call what you will. It's an unsettling of you, but it's really fear.
Yeah, and when you think about it, fear is usually driven from an unknown outcome, right? Mike, wouldn't you agree with that? Like, you're afraid of something because you don't know what's going to be the result of what you do. And I think that people are afraid to start the process of putting a financial strategy in place because maybe they're not going to like what they hear is the outcome, number one. And number two is that because – and I think – I personally believe what I'm going to say right now – is the biggest driver. I think people don't want to look or be embarrassed that they don't understand all this stuff. So, and you know, who doesn't understand money, you know, in their head. So they're saying, you know, I don't want to go and, you know, because I don't understand this stuff, and they're fearful of that.
Yes. And they think with that fear that there's going to be a negative, they're worried about a negative consequence. Right. And really, Doug, fear, right, the, how would you say, the lack of it in us or too much of it in us is really just in a lot of things we do in life, right? I mean, it's just sports fans, right? Fourth and one. Who raises their hand to go for it and who says, ah, not doing it?
Right.
You know, and that's just, you could start right there watching a football game and find out who's got fear to take that chance, to take that challenge, and who's adventurous and who's not adventurous, and who wants to just say, let's get in a car and ride and not know where we're going. And there's people say, no, I need to know exactly where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all a form of fear at the end of the day that causes,
yeah,
that causes those personalities.
Yes. But you know what, Mike, is I think that also a lot of people don't take the steps to figure out, well, what am I afraid of? Okay, so let's just talk about this for a second. In your analogy, if you're the football coach and you say, all right, I'm afraid to go for fourth and one here. Why am I afraid of that? Well, because the adverse impact could be bad. We could not get it. We could turn the ball over right here to them, and then we'll move it from there. And then when you take that time to analyze the situation and then make a decision – see, a lot of people, I think, when it comes to money and designing financial strategies, they just let their fear say, I'm nervous to do it, and they don't find out what are my options. And that's what we want you to do. Like, so what's the football coach's option there? Go for it, maybe miss it, and turn the ball over and hope the defense picks up. Or punt it, or kick a field goal, whatever it is right there. And, you know, those are options. Well, that person knows their options. But the average person who doesn't sit down with us and go over and let us design financial strategies for them and discuss them with them don't know what their options are.
Well, right. And when it comes to your financial life, let's get it back to what we're talking about. When it comes to your financial life, the fear you have, the results can impact you for a very long period of time, right? I mean, if you're saying, hey, Doug, I have a fear, like, I'm worried about doing certain things for retirement. Well, your retirement could really be hurt by that.
Yep.
And the impact of your retirement could be 25 years.
Yeah, 100%. You know, so I think fear, Mike, is, in my opinion, the number one preventer from people doing this. And also what I would like to say is causes procrastination, right?
Absolutely.
So we want to educate and motivate so you don't procrastinate. So we're going to talk to you about this stuff. Now, the next thing, Mike, that I think that is big is cynicism. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of people out there would move forwards and would, you know, listen to some strategies or techniques, but they've got a cynic that's in their ear, and the cynic will continue to tell them why they shouldn't do it. That's hard to overcome.
Yeah. And you know, it's the, a lot of people have always doubters, you know, you call it a cynic or just negative personality and don't do this, don't do that. You know, there's bad effects if you do that. The only reason why they want you to do that is because of this, right? I'm sure we've all heard those type of people in our ears for different things. And I'm not just talking about the financial world.
Oh, listen, no doubt about it, Mike. You know, there's this, I think more so now than ever, the world is filled with cynicism and cynics, you know,
right.
People who are walking around, and it doesn't matter. You can find somebody who wants to do that to you in every area of the way. You know, listen, I'll give you an example. I remember one time, you know, somebody talking to me about buying a two-family house, right? And then they said, but I don't want to do it because I don't want to be bothered fixing toilets. Well, you're focusing on the fact that a toilet might, you know, at some point need some sort of maintenance. You're not focusing on what the benefit of, you know, having that real estate could do for you. Now, maybe at the end of the day, when you do your analysis, like I was talking about at the beginning, you know what your options are. You know what you might decide not to do it. But don't tell me you don't want to do it because you don't want to worry about fixing a toilet. Right? That means that, you know, that's being cynical and that's not being, you know, open-minded.
Yeah, and obviously the concerns there run a lot deeper than fixing a toilet.
Correct.
And it's being masked, and that's just being, that's cynics almost, that's almost like a form of sarcasm, if you ask me. But I'm not buying that house because I don't need to get into, I got to be, you know, fixing a toilet or fixing whatever.
But
know.
That's a cynical approach to the right. whole thing rather than, you know, that's, you know, so we want to try and push you past that. But importantly is that if you're listening to the show right now and you're not doing any, you know, strategies or any goal setting with your finances and your money, I want you to ask yourself right now, am I not doing it because somebody in my ear, some other person who's negative or cynical about the whole process, is really preventing me from doing that? I don't want to do it because I've been listening to what that person said. And you know, you probably know intuitively that you should just ignore that person anyway. But, you know, is that holding you back?
You know, and I hate to say it, too. Sometimes being a cynic is a generational thing. And it gets it gets pushed down, right? You know, it starts with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of influence the children. Don't do that. You shouldn't do that. They're very negative. They're waiting for something bad to happen. They're a cynic. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, that influence hurts the next generation.
Yes.
Okay? And as well as parents are very good, and there's parents that give a lot of great advice and financial advice, mm-hmm. and you need to do this, and you need to have the 401k and put the money away. That's great. But there's also the share out there that are very, very cynic and negative, and they push down, and it's a generational thing.
No, 100%, Mike, 100%. So then, you know, the next thing, so we hit two so far. So the next thing is, this is a big one too, laziness. You're lazy.
A lot of people are.
You're 100% correct.
A lot of people are just, you know, I hate to say, and I'm not speaking down to anybody, but a lot of people are just flat out lazy. and they're not motivated, and they don't do the things that they need to do to succeed. And, you know, Doug, another thing that's very common with lazy is a lot of finger pointing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They won't look at themselves and say, I'm lazy, I'm not a go-getter, I didn't get on the let's get after it mode. It's, well, I'm going to give you five reasons why I have to be like this.
You know, Mike, the and laziness can mask itself in different ways, right? You can say you're too busy, so you don't have time to pay attention to it. That's kind of being lazy, right? You know, create time to do it. And then the other, you know, and what causes that to be like that, Michael, is that we need people to start to think a little bit differently. And what I mean by that is that how many people out there listening to the show right now are saying to themselves, I'll never be able to retire, rather than say to themselves, what do I need to do in order to be able to retire? Okay? It's easier to just say, I'm never going to be able to retire. But if you, and that's, to me, if you ask me, that's a lazy approach. But instead, change that. Change that mindset a little bit and say, what do I need to do so that I will be able to retire?
I agree with you. It is a lazy, if the person that says I will not be able to retire is a lazy, but I'm going to vote for all the above so far.
Right.
Because I also see some fear. I also see some cynic. And I also see somebody that's lazy.
Oh, these are all like a virtuous cycle of round and around and around.
So I check all the above.
Mike, you know, it's just mindset for people. You know, it's like, I can't afford it. Well, why don't you change that mindset and say, how can I afford it? Right? I can't run in a marathon. What do I need to do so that I could be able to run in a marathon? It's everything in life, Mike. You know, I can't lose weight. Okay, stop with that. What do I need to do so that I can lose weight?
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
no. The options are out there. It's just pure laziness when it comes to it.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think there could be people listening right now that are kind of taking offense to this talk.
Probably.
You know.
You know why?
But
because we're shaking them up a little
bit right now. Right, but the truth, and let's get back to the financial world, what we're here to talk about, okay? And these are factors of why people don't succeed. Whether you want to hear it or not, I mean, there's, you know, who's out there sitting around saying, yeah, I have fear, or who's saying, yeah, I'm a cynic. Yeah,
or I'm
usually the cynics
don't
want to admit that they're a cynic, but
right. But
you are.
Right.
And, you know, and then there's people saying, I got to get to that. I know I should really take a look at that. But, you know,
right. Here
we go. A little bit of laziness.
Correct.
Okay.
100%. Now, Mike, one of the next things is that we need to talk about is people have some bad habits, right? Bad habits is one that we need to, you know, I think bad habits is the one that people will address the quickest. Like if they know that it's a bad habit to stop and buy, you know, $5 worth of coffee and stuff in the morning as opposed to making it, you know, themselves before they leave the house. That's probably the easiest ones that we have, you know, people correct, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you know, and I find too, Doug, bad habits are out there. I think I'm going to say, I don't want to say all, but most of us have a bad habit somewhere in the deck. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's smoking, eating, bad finance, you know, and it goes on and the beat goes on. But I find sometimes, Doug, you know what changes bad habits? A life-changing event.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, you're eating fatty food, you're eating fast food, you're eating bad food, whatever's bad for you, and then something medically happens. You're a smoker, something medically happens. You know, financially, something big happens.
Yep.
Okay? And then it's like, okay, you know, been burned, learned my lesson, I'm going to change my ways. And there's folks out there that can never change their bad habits. They just keep doing more of the same. But there are a group of people out there when there's a life-changing event connected to the bad habit, they'll stop and they'll change your way. And that's what we're trying to do on the financial front for you, right? We're trying to get you out of the bad habits and getting you, we feel once you get on the right track, it'll become a good habit that you'll perform for a very long period of time.
Yeah, that's what our, you know, our objective is. And Mike, to your point is that I know a fella in our town who's a little bit older than you and I, but he had a heart attack. And, you know, I ran into him the other day and, you know, I said, hey, you know, Joe, how you feeling? And he goes, I'm feeling better now, Doug, but I'll tell you what, I cleaned it up, man.
Yeah.
You know, no more garbage, you know, eating good, the whole nine yards. And I got to say, he looks better now than he's ever looked, you know, yeah, since I've known him, because, you know, I guess he's cleaning it up.
And I'm a believer of too, Doug, when it comes to your financial world, it's never too late to stop with a bad habit.
Right.
You know, like, let's do it right starting today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, 100%. And, Mike, the last thing that I want to talk about here is, and this kind of dovetails, if you ask me, in with the cynic,
yeah,
is you're just too arrogant. All right? You think you know it all. You don't want to hear other people's ideas. And I got to tell you something. The most successful people I know in my life have gotten that way from listening to other people's ideas and then implementing them.
Yeah, and Doug, when it comes to arrogance, I mean, you and I, we've been doing the show 20-some-odd years. We've met all types of people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I think the arrogant person when it comes to finances knows enough to be dangerous.
Or thinks they do.
Right, right. And they think that they know what they're doing, and maybe they do know some things, and they don't know a lot of things. But they're not willing to listen or to change because they feel like they know more than what they really know. So
yeah, all right, listen.
To me, you know enough to be dangerous. You fall into that file.
Listen, we've got, you know, we've seen it, you know, firsthand where, you know, there's been families where they have a decent amount of wealth. And then all of a sudden there's a son-in-law or somebody who comes into the picture and he's like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to start to pick these. I'm going to be picking my own stocks. All right. And, you know, we see it time and time again. They start picking their stocks, and their stocks blow up on them, you know, and it just doesn't work out as they, you know, they thought it was so easy. They were arrogant about it, you know, and it just, we've seen it happen over the, you know, over the years, and we don't want to see that happening. We won't work together with you. So, you know, those are, you know, the five things that we really think: fear, being a cynic, being lazy, and, you know, some bad habits, and then being arrogant is what really prevents people from moving forwards. Now, we're willing to, you know, to work with you and help you through all this stuff and you know, get you going in the right direction and stop the, you know, I'm never going to be able to do this, or I don't understand money, you know, statement to how can I better understand money? You know, how can I do this? And maybe it's, you know, allow us to sit and work with you and educate you along the way, educate and motivate so you don't procrastinate. So a reminder to, you know, before we cut out for a break here, is that we do offer a complimentary consultation at any time to our listeners out there. There's no obligation. There's no cost. You just got to pick the phone up and give a call, 855-262-3722. That number again, 855-262-3722. All right, we're going to hop to a break. We will be right back, folks.
Have you been listening to Doug and Mike for some time now and have been contemplating scheduling an appointment with them? Does what they talk about make sense to you and you believe some of it applies to you? Do you think it's time to either start paying attention to your money or get a second opinion on what you're already doing? Well, great news for you. Doug and Mike offer complimentary consultations with no cost or obligation to the listeners of Your Financial Future. That's right, a no cost or obligation consultation with the hosts of Your Financial Future to discuss what is important to you in a private and confidential meeting. It couldn't be any easier. Just pick up the phone right now and call 855-262-3722. Leave your name and phone number, and either Doug or Mike will personally call you to set up a time to get together. The number again is 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Doug and Mike will explain things in an easy-to-understand fashion and work with you to help you accomplish your goals. Whether you want to plan for income at retirement, learn investing strategies, save for college, plan for a special needs child, or anything else related to your money, they are ready to help. Your Financial Future has been on the air 22 years. These guys have experience and wisdom to help. Take advantage of this generous offer to get together and have a complimentary consultation with no obligation. You have to take the first step and simply make the call. So call now to 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Don't put it off any longer. Call 855-262-3722.
You are listening to Your Financial Future, brought to you courtesy of Wealth Management Group. Wealth Management Group has been providing financial, retirement, tax, and asset protection strategies since 1995. Doug Chapman and Michael are registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Securian Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Wealth Management Group is independently owned and operated. This material represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time and is not intended to be a forecast of future events or a guarantee of future results. This information should not be relied upon by as research or investment advice, nor should it be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell a security. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. The Standard & Poor's 500, S&P 500, is an unmanaged group of securities considered to be representative of the stock market in general. Financial advisors do not provide specific tax, legal advice, and this information should not be considered as such. You should always consult your tax legal advisor regarding your own specific tax legal situation. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Hope that you, you're getting some good value out of what we've spoken about here so far. And it's a segment of the show here where Mike and I like to let you know what we've been talking to people about recently so that you can have somewhat of an idea of the different types of conversations and different areas that people, you know, turn to us for advice and guidance on. And, you know, we don't tell you necessarily what the solution that we provided for that person was, because what we provide to them might not be the right solution for you, but we'll let you know what people are turning to us and talking to us about. And so, you know, we can take it in that direction to, you know, to let you know what's been going on, you know, here. So, Mike, one of the things that I wanted to talk about briefly today is recently when I was doing a review with a client, I brought up beneficiary designations to this person, and I said, listen, let's review all your beneficiary designations on your accounts so that we make sure that they're all up to date with what's happening out there. A lot of people, this is you know, commonplace, Mike, where a lot of people will forget who they had as a beneficiary on, you know, a life insurance policy, an IRA, a work, you know, work-related life insurance, work-related retirement account. So it's always good to do a quick beneficiary audit.
Yeah, I agree, Doug. And you know what? I've done some work here recently where, you know, the client had things really all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, the work wasn't necessarily with us at the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And created a lot of problems. There's no other way to say it. Made things just not that it won't be fixed at death,
mm-hmm.
okay, because it will, but it's going to be very time-consuming, very costly, a lot of things attached to it that didn't need to be.
Right.
And it really had to do with all-over beneficiary designations.
So here's one of my tips that I like to give people, because sometimes it's an arduous task to get in touch with this company or that company and find out who the beneficiary designation is, and sometimes they won't provide it with you over the telephone and that kind of stuff. So my simple solution is request new beneficiary designation forms from every place. Just request the form, fill it out with what you want it to look like today, and don't worry about what it was previously, and submit the new one, and that's going to supersede the old one. And even if it's the same beneficiary, oh, well, big deal. Okay, so what? You sent a new form in. But this way, at least you know you submitted them. You keep a copy of them, you know, for your records, and so then you know that it's all taken care of and up to date. To me, that's the easier way to go about it than to call, find out who's listed, then take it from there. Just get new forms and submit all new forms.
Yes, sir. And that makes a lot of sense, okay? Because like you said, it keeps away from people saying, oh, I got to find who to call. What do I call? Who do I ask? I'll procrastinate it. I won't do it. And all the bad factors start bleeding into it, and nothing gets done. So that is probably the easiest way if you want to avoid all that.
Yeah. And let me tell you, it can be a headache if you don't have your beneficiary designations right. We're going through one in the office right now. That's, yeah. You know, it's just requiring a lot of work on our end and a lot of work on the executor's end, because beneficiary forms were not kept up to date.
Yep.
So,
hey, Doug, you know what I'm talking about here a little bit is, and I've been coming across it quite a bit with the whole school year kicking off, is I'm finding people that have money saved in 529s for their children's college when they get to college. And if there's not enough money or they have a portion of money in 529 plans, they don't know what money to use first. Mm. And I've been hit with that question maybe three or four times of late, saying, hey, what do I use? We have 529. We have bank account money. We have other market money. You know, how do I determine this?
Yeah. And again, it's a very legitimate question. And there's no answer to blurt out over the air here, because that's a case-by-case scenario as well. You know, I don't know. Do you have another child trailing up that if you're okay with using, you know, money out of the bank to pay for this, and you want to change the beneficiary of that 529 to the child that's coming up behind? Who knows? You know, it's different for everybody's situation. So, but, you know, that's a good point right there, is that people don't know. And that, Mike, you know, that only just doesn't happen with 529s. We get that a lot with retirement income too, right?
Sure.
Where should I take the money from?
People don't understand what pot of money to take it from. But the interesting about the college is that the 529 is for college. Really, that's the main designation, where other pots of money may be or could be used for other things in your financial future.
Hey,
right?
Mike, I've had people come to us that weren't clients and came after the fact, and they've got money still in a 529 that's left over because they didn't use it for the college education. I'm like, how come you didn't use it? Like, they didn't have anybody to advise them or guide them along the way, you know, and they just didn't use it. So now it's just, you know, sitting there, and, you know, are they going to pay the tax and take it out? Are they going to use it for, you know, for their own educational purposes? They still got to determine that, but they just didn't go through the process with somebody and think it through.
Yeah, and sometimes, Doug, it's, you know, again, like you were saying, every family's different, right? Because it could be one child, it could be two children, it could be two children going to college, maybe one going to a more expensive school. Not, there's a lot of variables that into this whole decision process of what money do I use, what money can be used, how should I attack this?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not really a blanket answer, but it is a sit down that does need to be walked through and discussed pretty thoroughly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're 100% on that. You know, let's see, what else have I worked on with people? Like, oh yeah, we had a couple come in. I had a couple come in last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. Time flies by, right, Michael? So, you know, preparing in advance for their 5 years away from retirement, and smart enough to come in and say, hey, you want to know something? We want to pull the plug in 5 years. We got to get this, you know, set up, you know, right now, and make sure that everything's, you know, going in the right direction for us. And we love those kinds of, you know, appointments that, you know, when people do that.
Sure. And, you know, that's the person that's, you know, has enough vision. Let's get out in front. Let's be proactive, which we always talk about, right? Better to be proactive than reactive. And that's that person. And those generally turn out to be pretty good meetings.
Yeah. And then, Mike, I had another one the other day where somebody had a whole bunch of old savings bonds. All right. A 3-inch stack of them. You know what I'm saying? Like a load of old savings bonds. And I'm like, I have no idea, you know, what these are worth. So I showed them how to go onto the internet and go to, you know, the government site where there's a savings bond calculator out there, so that they could go and figure out what the value of their bonds are. So, you know, there's a whole lot of people, I'm convinced of this, that have savings bonds tucked in their drawers someplace that they have no idea what they're worth. And, you know, years back, they changed interest rates, the way they credit interest rates, to a variable interest rate on the bonds. So it's not as clear cut as it used to be anymore. It used to be, you know, back in the day, they'll double it in 7 years or whatever it was, or 12 years, whatever, you know, whatever it was at that period of time. It's not that clean cut anymore. And here's the other thing, is that people need to realize that many of those bonds stop earning interest after 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, do you have them that are sitting there that are more than 30 years old that are now, you know, an asset for you that's doing nothing except for, you know, yeah, you still do have a deferred tax on it, but it's not growing anymore.
You know, it's interesting, Doug. You just pushed me back into time, because practicing over 20 some odd years, like we both have, at one time when people came in and we sat down with them and kind of did the financial inventory, people with savings bonds and people with stock certificates was like almost a given.
Mm-hmm.
And as time has gone on, I got to tell you, I see few and very few of those cases where people are saying, here's bonds, or I have bonds in my hand, or I have stock certificates in my hand. That's kind of faded away over time. I think the bonds are more generational buying wise.
Right.
And I think the stock certificates, everything just basically went electronic. And
you know, a lot of people, Mike, used to buy savings bonds via payroll deduction. I don't see that happening very often anymore. I don't even know if it still does happen.
I haven't seen that.
But that's where a lot of these people, you know, accumulated these $20, $25 savings bonds that, you know, all of a sudden they got, like I said, they got a stack of them and it adds up to be, you know, thousands of dollars, but they used to have payroll deduction to purchase them.
I have a question. It's going to sound a little foolish here, but I'll say it. I'm brave enough to say it. Does the bank still sell them?
Savings bonds?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess you got to go there to buy them, right?
I'm not for certain on that. I don't know. I haven't heard.
I'm trying to remember now because I haven't purchased a savings bond for somebody in, you know, quite some time. But I think they execute the paperwork for you and you get the bond in the mail from the Treasury.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, that's, you know, that's interesting. It's happened, you know, happening out there, you know, as well. And then real quick, before we wrap up this segment and get to it, I also had a conversation with a business owner recently where, you know, they've got the son is in the business and the two daughters aren't in the business. And I had the old fair or equal, you know, conversation with them. And they're like, well, you know, what do you mean? You know, when I said that to him, I said, well, do you want to be fair or equal in your estate planning? And again, they looked at me and go, what are you talking about? I said, well, your son's working in this business and this kid is working his rear end off, right? The kid's like 35, 36 years old. Their business is growing in leaps and bounds, but the daughters don't work in the business. And he's like, well, I want them, you know, everybody's getting the same amount when I die. And I said to him, yeah, that's great. So you want to be equal, but you also want to be fair because should they all get ownership in the business? And because if they do, by the way, the son that's building the business right now isn't the majority shareholder. All right. The other two could, you know, dictate what that. And he's like, oh, my goodness, I never thought about it that way. So, you know, I'm hoping to go down the process with these folks of doing estate planning work with them and working alongside with them. But that's a big issue for, you know, for the business owner out there that's got one or two children, or, you know, however many children working in the business and maybe children that aren't working in the business. They love them all equally. But, you know, is it really fair to the ones that are working in the business if the other ones inherit the ownership?
More common than what you would think, right?
Yep. Yep. It's not
uncommon. We come across that very often, and you know, we dealing with business owners and stuff, and you know, that's is anytime there's a family member that's going to go into the business, it generally triggers that conversation.
Right, absolutely. And you know, and most people want to do the right thing, but they also want to treat everybody equally. Yep. So you know, it's good. Anything else you want to bring up in this segment?
No, I think we basically touched on a bunch of things.
All right, let's hop to a break. We will be right back, folks.
These are the views and opinions of Doug Chapman and Mike Bonaccorso and do not necessarily reflect those of Securian Financial Services, Inc. Financial advisors do not provide specific tax or legal advice. This information should not be considered as specific tax or legal advice. You should consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your own specific tax or legal situation, separate from the financial plan and an advisor's role as financial planner. An advisor may recommend the purchase of specific investment or insurance products or accounts. These product recommendations are not part of the financial plan, and clients are under no obligation to follow them.
Hey, Pete, what's going on? You look worried.
I'm not worried. I'm just confused. I don't know what to do about my business when I'm not here anymore. As you know, my son, Mark, is running the place now.
Yeah, I know. He's doing a great job. So what's the problem?
Well, my daughter is doing a terrific job, too, raising her children. A much harder job. But she doesn't do anything with the business, so Mark really deserves to get the business. But if I do that when I die, they won't receive an equal inheritance.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah, that is an issue. But, you know, I hear that Doug and Mike over at Wealth Management Group help business owners with such issues. I understand that they have a team of people who understand the issues that people who own their own businesses face, just like this one. In fact, I'm pretty sure I heard them speak about this exact issue on the radio. Let me give you their number, 732-340-1410. Write it down, 732-340-1410. 732-340-1410.
Okay, I got it. 732-340-1410. I'm going to call them right now. Thanks. 732-340-1410.
Thank you for calling Wealth Management Group. How may I help you?
Hi, I'd like to set up an appointment.
Wealth Management Group is designed to help you with any financial issue you face. With offices in many locations and their house call option, it makes them very easy to work with. Call now, 732-340-1410. That's 732-340-1410. Once again, 732-340-1410. Call now.
Okay, welcome back, folks. And, hey, Mike, we only got a minute or two here to wrap up the show. We spent some good time talking about some good topics here today. You know, in my opinion, you know, we opened up the show talking about, you know, the economy and that kind of stuff. Then we went and we talked about the five things that really, in our opinion, prevent people from, you know, moving forwards in their financial life. And then, you know, kind of what we've been up to lately. And, you know, here we are wrapping it up. And what I want to do here, Mike, is I just want to take a minute and remind the folks out there that you and I, in addition to our roles as the hosts of Your Financial Future, help people with their personal financial lives and their business financial situations. And we're always available to have a complimentary consultation without any obligation to you. And we encourage that, right?
Sure, we sure do. So, you know, you're always welcome. Pick up the phone, give us a call, right? We're here, Doug, and that's what we do. And even if you have a question, pick up the phone and give us a call. It doesn't, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, you know, we're here to help, and, you know, we're available. So the telephone number you can call is 855-262-3722. That number, again, is 855-262-3722. Our website is wealthmanagegroup.com. Again, wealthmanagegroup.com. You can go and check that out. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things that we can help you with. And we want to encourage you to not be shy and, you know, to reach out to us. And also, if you're a regular listener to the show and over the course of time, you've heard us offer out, you know, different pieces, literature, educational material, and for some reason or another you forgot to call that week, you're always welcome to pick up the phone and call too. And also, if you have a question about, let's just say, I don't know, random Social Security, right? You can call and say to us, hey, do you guys have a piece on Social Security you could send me? Do you have a piece on retirement you could send me? And if we don't, maybe we'll find a decent one to send out to you guys.
Sure. So just again, folks, you know, whatever's on your mind, pick up the phone, give us a call. We're always happy to help.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that's going to wrap it up for this week, Michael. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think we had a great show. Everybody have a good week.
Yep, we'll be back again next week. Until then, do us a favor. Be fiscally smart. Bye-bye, everybody.
Have you been listening to Doug and Mike for some time now and have been contemplating scheduling an appointment with them? Does what they talk about make sense to you and you believe some of it applies to you? Do you think it's time to either start paying attention to your money or get a second opinion on what you're already doing? Well, great news for you. Doug and Mike offer complimentary consultations with no cost or obligation to the listeners of Your Financial Future. That's right, a no cost or obligation consultation with the hosts of Your Financial Future to discuss what is important to you in a private and confidential meeting. It couldn't be any easier. Just pick up the phone right now and call 855-262-3722. Leave your name and phone number, and either Doug or Mike will personally call you to set up a time to get together. The number again is 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Doug and Mike will explain things in an easy-to-understand fashion and work with you to help you accomplish your goals. Whether you want to plan for income at retirement, learn investing strategies, save for college, plan for a special needs child, or anything else related to your money, they are ready to help. Your Financial Future has been on the air 22 years. These guys have experience and wisdom to help. Take advantage of this generous offer to get together and have a complimentary consultation with no obligation. You have to take the first step and simply make the call. So call now to 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Don't put it off any longer. Call 855-262-3722.
The preceding program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in financial services commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives and investment advisory representatives of Securian Financial Services, offering securities and investment advisory services from Securian Financial Services, Incorporated. FINRA SIPC 14 Walsh Drive, Parsippany, New Jersey 07050 973-299-9222. Wealth Management LLC is separate from Securian Financial Services Incorporated and is not a broker dealer. Join us again next week at the same time for your financial future.